They're gems.
That's good gems.
No, really. As I mentioned in the prayer, next Sunday, Martha and I won't be here. We're heading up to Massachusetts to see our sons play. It's about, it was supposed to be produced last year, but one of the actors dropped out the week before, which really put the whole show into a tailspin. And it's about four veterans who are gathering at a retreat to remember a loved one who's died, a colleague of theirs who's died. And so we're going to go and celebrate that time with him and with the folks who've been part of the play. So we thank you for letting us head up there to go do that next weekend. That'll be good. A few weeks back, Barry came to me, and he said, you know, this is the 100th anniversary of World War I. We really should be doing something around that. And I said, yep, we really should. I won't be here on Veterans Day. I just want to make that clear. But I said, I want to make some comments about that before I head off. And I know next weekend the deacons have planned some special words and things for you to think about in light of Veterans Day. But I wanted to say a few words today. In the time of the Great World War, World War I, 1914, 1918, houses of worship were teaching that we were engaged in a holy war. And references to the book of Revelation were used to cast the enemy as the Antichrist and posit the Allies as winning this for Christ. And so it was a big deal. It was the first time all these countries had come together to battle. It really was a world war, the number of people who were involved. America and our allies were seen as being favored nations on the right side of the battle lines. And so whatever became necessary to win the war was believed to be okay with God. Trench warfare, chemical warfare, depth charges, orchestrated attacks on civilians. It was for the right side, so it was okay. Which must have been a staggering jolt to the moral compass of those who had grown up here in Briarcliff or in other small towns, who had learned the lessons that Mark put forth today. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The words, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, was learned by Christians and Jews alike. It still is, and it was the centerpiece of teaching that, unlike the gods of other cults and cultures, our God was one God. And that one God called us to love, to care, to steward life, not to lob mustard gas at life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus combines the two into one big commandment. And it's a lesson that the young people who went and fought for our country 100 years ago would have known in their hearts. It's a lesson that people who go off to war today know in their hearts. The lessons that Mark had put forth in today's reading were usurped by a green light to killing the enemy. But alas, the teachings of the Shema were more deeply entrenched in the souls of the combatants than the lust for war. The deaths experienced 100 years ago must have rocked the lives of those who brought about the deaths and those who witnessed them. And coming home was then, as it is now, probably very confusing. You'd grown up your entire life learning one set of rules, and then during war you were set off to pursue a different set of rules, a necessary set of rules for wartime. Going back to church, stepping back into community, must have been very difficult. 16 million lives were lost as a direct result of the First World War. And in the years that followed that carnage, the Spanish flu must have felt like divine retribution to some folks, as the Spanish flu took an additional 50 to 100 million lives. I have no doubt that those who returned home, despite the parades and flags that waited them, the families with a home-cooked meal, those folks struggled. Many of those folks struggled with moral injury. Now, in case you're not familiar with that term, moral injury refers to an injury to an individual's moral conscience, resulting from an act of perceived moral transgression, which produces profound emotional shame. The concept of moral injury emphasizes the psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual aspects of trauma. It's not surprising that several military support groups formed following World War I. Soldiers needed a place to wrestle with and express their experiences. They needed a place where they could honestly sort out what they had experienced. They needed a safe space to reckon with what they had seen and sometimes what they had done in the arena of war. I pray here from this pulpit or at the table every week for military personnel who do hard work on our behalf, who have to see hard things on our behalf, because I understand the toll it takes to do those things, the moral, the spiritual toll it takes to do that work, and I want them to find sanctuaries where they can feel safe and spaces where they can know that God loves them and desires to heal them. I want folks to have a safe space to reckon and hear the kind of stuff that the Reverend Dr. Beverly Presswood Taylor asserts when she says that in situations of danger or heightened awareness of the possibility of danger, this includes war, the part of the brain that oversees morality is physically less active. It turns off, it shuts down, it phases down so that people can do what they need to do to survive, to protect, to defend. Part of the brain that does morality kind of phases down a little bit. And so it goes beyond choice and it goes beyond what we have control over. War takes things to a different place. I wrote a little book for the organization that Dr. Beverly Presswood Taylor runs called the Brookfield Institute. And it's called Repairing the Soul of a Three-Legged Stool. Repairing the Soul of a Three-Legged Stool. And in that book, I note that church community can help with the work of healing people who experience moral injury. We can do that work by providing a presence to people who are struggling with moral injury, by offering non-judgmental support, by being a listening ear. If they folks want accountability for what they've done, to say, yeah, that must have been a hard thing, that's not what you learned, but it's what you had to do, some accountability, that's part of it. Churches can offer opportunities for giving back, rituals for healing, an awareness of the community's responsibility in sending the soldier to war, because we play a part as people who vote or don't vote in what happens to our military personnel. We elect the folks who make some of those decisions and call for people to enter into situations that are very dangerous. And as church communities, we can offer hope to soldiers, to veterans who are struggling. Veterans like the folks who came back after World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf Wars that continue on. In other words, by reminding one another of today's lesson, we can help. By reminding folks that God's love is still on the table. And God wants us to have access to that love. God wants us to heal so that we can experience that love and be whole. If you'll notice, Jesus doesn't conclude that the young scholar is already at God's side. The story doesn't end with Jesus saying, "Way to go, young man, you're in, you're good, you're right there." Jesus says, when he sees that the young man answers wisely, he says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far. You're moving closer." When we remember the Shema, when we can remember to love God first and love one another first, when we can reestablish loving relationships with one another, sometimes long after war or some other traumatic experience has happened, I believe that Jesus notes that we draw closer to the realm of God. Our love of God and neighbor brings us closer. Closer to healing, closer to knowing, closer to God, closer to this communion that we receive today. On this All Saints' Day, we recall the names of those who died as a result of war. Those who died of illness or accident, folks who died by their own hand, by the hands and actions of other people. I've included in this list that's on the pink insert in your bulletin today the names of our Jewish sisters and brothers from Pennsylvania who were gunned down last week. I've included the names of the two people of color who were murdered last week in Jeffersontown, Kentucky. And I've included the names of the two women who were shot down at a yoga studio in Tallahassee, Florida, just this past week. Because I think we need to draw closer to this communion table so that we can remember and we can remind others that the greatest love is God. And the greatest love is to love one another as God has loved us. No matter what we've been through and no matter what the folks around us have been through. That love is bigger than that stuff. And that love is what God is about. We have a bunch of candles lit down here, and they represent these people who are on this pink sheet of paper, and people in your lives who burned brightly in this life. They each strive to draw closer to God through the living of their lives. And sometimes they succeeded, and sometimes they failed, and sometimes they picked themselves off and kind of stumbled forward. Today, we recognize that their communion with God is complete, as Jesus called it. Let us witness that truth in the love of our one God. If the deacons would assist me, I will read those names. Olive Anderson, Leslie Peterson, Ralph Hutto, Maddie Favaro. Jean Schofield. Valinda Johnson Costabel. Gregory McGinty. Mary Vance. Florence E. Elliott. Whitney T. Ferguson. Fred Colby. Hilda Walters. Betty Thresher. Bill Thresher. Jean Ebling. Mary Jo Mathias. Jane Lemkuhl. Bert Margolis. Betty Ann Turner. Nicholas Thresher. Lindsay White. Maurice Stollard. Vicky Lee Jones. Joyce Feinberg. Richard Gottfried. Rose Malinger. Jerry Rabinowitz. Dr. Nancy Van Vessem. Maura Binkley. Cecil Rosenthal. David Rosenthal. Bernice Simon. Sylvan Simon. Daniel Stein. Melvin Wax. Irving Younger. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? To those who are in communion with God, to those of us who call upon Jesus' name, the answer is the most important one, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We give thanks for those saints who have loved us in the past, and for those of us who we can love here in the present. May Jesus bless us. May Jesus hold us. Amen. Giving thanks for the great cloud of witnesses who burn brightly in our past and who continue to burn brightly. You can leave those all lit. Yep. Let us offer up our gifts now in Jesus' name.